Hello guys, I'm Christian Esguera and welcome to another episode of our Facts First podcast. For today, I'd like to welcome another guest that we interviewed before already on this podcast. Siya po ang tumatayong campaign strategist ni Mayor Isko Moreno na tumatakbo sa pagkapangulo. I'd like to welcome you again on the program, Mr. Lito Banaya.
Good morning, Christian. And well, it's always a pleasure to be with your program, your podcast.
Okay, masyado naging magulo yung last few days, yung 11th hour before the deadline of the substitution noong November 15. Pero bago natin himayin yung gulo na yun, no, gusto ko muna kayong tanongin, tukol doon sa lumabas na last social weather station survey doon sa mga prospective presidential winners, kung sakasakali, no? This was conducted last October 20 to 23. Ito yung after nung filing ng COCs. Pumangatlo yung kandidato nyo, si Mayor Isko Moreno with 13%. Ang nanguna si Bongbong Marcos, 47%, followed by Lenny Robredo with 18%. Now, is this something that you consider as worrisome? Nakakabahala ba to para sa kampo ninyo?
Well, klarong-klaro dyan kasi yung angat ni Ferdinand Marcos Jr. And that is likely because nung tinanggal si Sara Duterte sa list, malaking portion ng Sara Duterte votes nag-migrate kay Ferdinand Marcos Jr. No? So that explains yung halos nag-double yung numbers niya, di ba, ni Marcos. Yeah. On the other hand, meron kasi kaming survey internal na October 21 to November 3. So mas mahaba. Face-to-face ito. Ganon din ang halos ang resulta nung kay Marcos Jr. It was also in the mid-40s. Pero dun sa Lenny and Isko, even Steven ang number 16-16. No? So, whether the 18-13 was kasi that's more than the margin of error, plus 3, minus 3 yata ang margin of error. Or whether na correct na yung dating yung biglang angat din ni Vice President Robredo vis-a-vis Isko Moreno because mas mahaba ito, November 3 natapos. I cannot say at this moment, but suffice it to say na leading talaga si Ferdinand Marcos Jr. at this point, no? Malaki ang lamang ni Ferdinand Marcos Jr.
Pero nakakabahala ba yung positioning ngayon ni Mayor Isko Moreno?
Hindi ako nababahala, no. To me, it's early days. Eh. If you remember, in January of 2016, just before the start of the election campaign itself, Mayor Rodrigo Duterte was doing 9 or 10 points. Pero gradually umangat yun until he finished with the 39% of the vote. No? So it all depends on how the campaign runs. It all depends on the messages that you bring out in yung paglatag mo ng kampanya, no? The strategy and the message box. No? At the end of the day, that's what matters.
May mga nagsasabi before na baka mga kandidato katulad ni Mayor Isko Moreno, baka naman nag-peak early kahit hindi pa nagsisimula yung kampanya. Ano yung sagot nyo sa ganung perspective?
Actually, hindi naman kami nag-peak. Eh. We were always just number 2 or number 3, di ba? Parang naglalaban si... Laging number 1 si Sara, di ba? Inday yeah. Sara. Then si either Isko or Ferdinand Marcos Jr. yung nagpapalit sa number 2, number 3, di ba? Mm. I mean, these were pre-COC lines. Pre-COC surveys. No? So talaga naglalaro yan. No? And I would say that admittedly, yung maaring nagkaroon ng epekto yung mga nasabi ni Mayor Isko after he felt betrayed by the Lenny camp, no? Mm-hmm. Yung statements niya ron, no?
So medyo ganun kalaki ang impact nun? Because pwede rin siya
Hindi naman ganun kalaki ang impact. But where was Lenny before? She was, I think, 12 or 11 na rin, eh, di ba?
Hmm.
So, nagkaroon ng uptick. But I think that will soon peter out. No? Looking at the reaction of crowds with Isko, looking at how his speeches resonates, at saka masipag yung kandidato ko eh. You know, like yesterday, we hit Calapan at 9:30 or thereabouts in the morning. And then we had Calapan, Mahalta, Nauhan, Socorro, finally Pinamalayan. Limang ikot 'yon. Limang bayan yung pinuntahan, no? Limang affairs yung pinuntahan or events. And natapos kami magfa 5 o'clock na in the afternoon, no? When we flew back to Manila. Pero hindi ito motorcade. In fact, hindi kami nagmo-motorcade except yung mga supporters, but siya mismo hindi kami nagmo-motorcade. Pero talagang nagbabayan-bayan siya, no? The youthful energy is there and driven yung kandidato ko eh. Talagang masipag.
Okay. Nabanggit nyo kanina yung bago yung filing ng certificates of candidacy. So usually lumalamang sa survey before for president si Sara Duterte, and then mukhang nalipat kay Bongbong Marcos nung nag-decide na eventually tumakbo si vice president si Sara Duterte. Bilang katulad nyo na dating kabahagi ng Duterte administration, ano yung basa nyo rito sa nangyari o nangyayaring gulo sa loob ng Duterte family, ng Duterte camp, ng PDP laban? Una-una, bakit si Sara nag-slide down to vice president?
Well, kagaya rin ni Pangulong Duterte, hindi ko maintindihan yun. Bakit siya nag-slide down to vice president? Up to now, I do not have a definitive answer to that. I cannot fathom why she did that. Number one siya sa surveys, no? Tatay niya, Pangulo ng Pilipinas, no? Bakit ka pumayag? Bakit ka nag-second fiddle? But there is something interesting about this, Christian, no? Sinabi na ba ni Sara na tumatakbo siyang vice presidente kay Bongbong Marcos?
Hindi.
Wala, ano? Basta she went down to being vice president, no? So, did she do that out of spite against Senator Bongo? Tinapatan lang niya si Senator Bongo. And doon siya ngayon na outsmart ng Malacañang. Now, nung bumaba siya to vice president, no? Tinakbo naman si Senator Bongo na presidente, no? It's surreal, no? watching how they play the game, no? It's really parang hindi mo maintindihan eh ano yung motivations, no? Hindi ko rin naman matatanggal kay Pangulong Duterte na ano pa man ang hindi nila pagkakaintindihan or tampuhan ng kanyang anak. Anak pa rin niya si Mayor Inday, di ba? Mahal niya 'yon, syempre, no? So I really don't know how it has played. This game has been playing, no?
Pero you think that was a bad move on the part of that was a wrong move on the part of Sara Duterte? Leading sa surveys, people were expecting her to run for president, tapos biglang nag-VP candidate.
I think it was a wrong move on her part. Maaring nagkamali siya ng diskarte, maaring may nag-guide sa kanya, definitely hindi ama niya, hindi tatay niya ang pangulo, may nag-guide sa kanya at talagang sinadya siyang maikanal. Maari din naman na mas adroit si Ferdinand Marcos Jr., no? Nung nakita niya na baka magtumakbong presidente si Inday Sara after nag-withdraw ng kanyang COC as mayor of Davao, wala nang babalikan si Sara kasi at that point, eh, di ba?
Hmm.
Nag-give up na niya yung mayor ng Davao, eh. No? So wala na siyang babalikan sa Davao. Nung wala na siyang babalikan sa Davao, doon ngayon siya nilaro ni Ferdinand Marcos Jr. o kung sino man ang handler ni Ferdinand Marcos Jr., pwedeng yung ate niya, no, si Senator Amy, and kung saano nakanal si Mayor Inday Sara. At mukhang yun ang isa sa mga ikinagalit ni Pangulong Duterte.
Pero in this case, mukhang nakanal din ba si President Duterte? Kasi at the very last minute, pinalutang muna nila na baka tumakbo siya for Vice President. Eventually, bigla siya nag-file ng COC for Senator at si Bongo yung pinaakyat for President.
Hindi. Talaga naman si Bongo ang gusto niya sanang patakbuhing Presidente. Malinaw naman yon. Makikita mo naman dun sa ad sa television nila. Parang last will and testament ni Presidente, di ba? Parang inihahabili na ang destiny ng bansa kay Senator Bongo, di ba? Malinaw naman yun doon. Na maaari rin kinasama naman ng loob ng totoong anak, di ba? Di ba kung ikaw man yung anak, pinapanood mo yun. Eh, talaga medyo iba dating sa'yo noon, no?
Ito yung parang so, may pinning ceremony, di ba?
Oo, oh, may pinning ceremony. Di ba? Parang, well, I really don't know. No? I've never been close to Mayor Inday Sara, no? to the family for that matter. Si Presidente lang ang nakakausap ko talaga. Not before I left government. No? Pero hindi talaga yung pamilya.
Pero dito mukhang na-outsmart ba na mga Marcos ang mga Duterte dito sa nakita nating latag ngayon?
For now. But if we look at the president's demeanor afterwards, he does not like what has happened. And remember, he's still president of the republic. And number two, he can be very acerbic. I mean, he can go on a negative campaign. No, against Ferdinand Marcos Jr. Masasakit din yung mga pananalita na binitiwa niya over the last 2 days, no? Against the Marcoses for that matter. Not just Marcos Jr. but the Marcoses for that matter.
Pero how effective can this be? Kasi for the longest time, pinagtatanggol naman niya ang mga Marcos, di ba? At sa ilalim ng pamamahala niya, doon na ilibing sa libingan ng mga bayani yung maong diktador. I mean, gano'n pa kalakas yung magiging ginagawang pagbanat ngayon ni President Duterte doon sa mga Marcos?
Yung pagpapalibing sa tatay ni Ferdinand Marcos Jr., no, sa FM Sr., was explained by the President na it was the legal thing to do. No? Yung batas, malinaw, naging dating Pangulo ng Pilipinas, kailangan kung gustuhin ng pamilyang ilibing sa libingan ng bayani, kailangan pagbigyan mo yung pamilya. That was how he explained it, no? The moral aspect, the historical perspective, we may dispute that. I also dispute that. But the point is, the president as a lawyer decided on the basis of what was legal, no? So ganun na nangyari. On the other hand also, I've heard the president, I think on 2 occasions, say na yung pagpapalibing sa ama ni Ferdinand Marcos Jr. ay bayad utang. Or parang nabayaran na niya yung utang na loob dahil ang tatay niya ay naging cabinet member noong panahon ni Presidente Ferdinand Marcos Sr. No? So parang tumatanaw din naman ng utang na loob. At alam naman natin na talagang tumatanaw ng utang na loob si PRRD. No? Sa maraming okasyon nakita natin yon. So yon, that's how I look at it. No?
Pero ngayon, for example, pag tinignan natin yung numero ni Bongbong Marcos, sa ngayon mukha siyang malakas. No? Nasa 40s sa mga surveys. Pero sa tingin nyo, itong nakikita nyong clash between the Dutertes and the Marcoses, who do you think would emerge? Sino yung mukhang mananalo sa dulo dito?
Two things there, Christian. One, remember that Vice President Jojo Binay in 2015 was doing 41%. No? Over a field of 4 or 5 candidates. No? Ang laki rin ang lamang niya dun sa number 2, which at that time, wala pa si Grace po, was Mar Rojas, di ba? Pero because of incessant demolition, no, against him, he eventually ended up number 4 in a field of 5, di ba? Mababang mababa. Okay. So that's one. Two, we've tested the numbers and soft yung support kay Ferdinand Marcos Jr. except when you go to the Ilocos region, no? Doon, hard yung support. When you go to Pangasinan, soft na yung support. Hindi na ganun kasolid. No? Sa NCR, malaki ang suporta niya. Merong hardcore support. That's because Imelda gave, his mother gave a lot of mga housing units, mga land titles dito sa Metro Manila, no, nung panahon na diktador yung ama niya, no. So, yun. But offhand, nasa sa 60 to 65% of his total support can still shift.
So, ito, no? Yung soft?
Soft yun. Pwede pang magpalit ng isip ang tao. No?
Pero kanino yung sino yung magbe-benefit sa transference na yun? Kung wala naman si Sara sa pool.
At this point, hindi mo masasabi pa. Dahil nga nagkagulo yung ano eh, no? na nagkagulo yung rambulan eh. Nawala si Sara, pumasok si Bongo. So you really do not know. What I know for a fact is prior to the November 13 to 15 scramble or whatever you call it, no, yung mga substitution na yon, the Bongbong supporters ang second choice is ko. The Lenny supporters ang second choice is ko. No? Okay. The Pacquiao supporters ang second choice is ko. So
mukhang Isko Moreno.
It plays out eventually, Isko Moreno. How it plays out eventually in a 6-7 or isama na natin si General Parlade, 8-way race, no? We do not know at this point in time. Mahirap mag-speculate at this point in time.
Okay. Pero in terms of support base, kasi dito nakikita natin parang nagugulahan na yung mga miyembro ng Duterte and Marcos Universe, no? Nag-aaway yung sarili nilang mga sinusuportahan. Pero in terms of support base, mas solid ba yung support base ng mga Duterte kumpara dun sa support base ni Bongbong Marcos?
Yes. Yes, I would say yes. Yung Mindanao talagang fortress. Fortress Mindanao yon. Remember, ngayon lang nagkaroon ng presidenteng taga Mindanao. Number one. Number two, at least in regions 11 and 12. Regions 11 and 12, although kumakain doon si Pacman ng konti because he is from region 12. Pero doon sa mga regions na yon, and to a certain extent central Mindanao, malakas talaga ang suporta sa mga Duterte. So that I would, plus of course, the rest of Mindanao, hindi ganun katindi ang suporta. But Mindanao is 23% of the national vote. I would say at for Sara, madali yung 70%. I don't know, however, 70% of 23, that's 14 to 15% of the national vote. No? Malaking base yon, no? But I don't know how that would play now that Bongo is the candidate for president of President Duterte.
Yeah,
no?
Precisely.
Whether kaya niya rin yung 70% sa Mindanao. I'm not too sure about that.
Yeah, basically, that's my next question. Kasi nga, wala na si Sara sa equation for president. At si President Duterte, outgoing president. So, maski pagbabanatan ba niya si Bongbong Marcos, daladala yung suporta ng base niya, kaya ba yung mapababa hindi lang si Bongbong Marcos kundi mapaangat din yung kandidato niya na hindi niya kadugo pero assistant niya for a long time si Bongo.
Yun nga ang hindi natin ma-measure at this point in time, no. everything that we would say at this point in time would be speculative, eh? No? Gaano katindi yung magiging banat niya kay Ferdinand Marcos Jr., no? Gaano, I mean, if it's really, ano, matindi, baka nga maka-damage ng malaki. We do not know that. Number two, paano niya ibebenta si Senator Bongo as his heir, no? Paano niya ibebenta, no? So again, it's a question of messaging, it's a question of strategy. But one thing that's going for Senator Bongo, and we have to accept that as political reality, is marami siyang natulungang mayors, marami siyang natulungang, kasi nga siya yung go-to guy, eh.
So halimbawa, dadaan sa kanya.
So maraming kumpasa ano, nagkakautang ng loob sa kanya. So hindi mo rin pwedeng i-discount 'yon, no? Because there are places na walang kalaban ng mayor, walang kalaban ng congressman, walang kalaban ng governor. Or meron man, eh basically panalo sila, no? So pag ganun ang sitwasyon ng isang local candidate at talagang tatanaw ng utang na loob kay Senator Bongo, malaking factor 'yon. We have to admit that, no?
Okay. Nakausap ko yung before yung Lenny Camp, no. Sinasabi nila, pag mas maraming tumakbo, in this case nakita na natin yung latag, no, ng mga tumatakbo sa pagkapangulo. That would give others better chances of getting a plurality, not a majority of the votes. Ganun din po ba ang basa niyo ron sa kasalukuyang latag ngayon ng mga tumatakbo sa pagkapangulo? Better chances for your candidate?
Well, yes. Admittedly, this is going to be a tough fight for everybody. The numbers will be quite close. As I said in an earlier interview by you, in this might be a 1992 scenario, no? Parang FVR winning by 2.something% over Miriam, no? And Miriam winning by about 5 or 7% over Dandinko Huangco. Parang dikit na dikit, no? Posibleng ganun ang mangyari ngayon, no? But then again, the elephant in the room is the supposed cancellation of the COC of Ferdinand Marcos Jr., no? How will that play out? We do not know at this point. I've asked several lawyers and I've received conflicting opinions. One opinion is malakas yung kaso against him. The other opinion is may basehan yung kaso, pero at the end of the day baka mag-rule ang Supreme Court na political question. No?
Okay. Ibigay sa electorate yung decision.
Yeah. Pareho nung or i-dribble until the end. Walang decision. Remember si Erap, when he ran in 2010, meron ding disqualification case. Yeah. Hindi inaksyon na ng Supreme Court, no? Unlike yung kay Grace Poe, dinesisyon na ng Supreme Court in her favor. But by the time the decision came out, the damage had already been done, hindi ba?
At paangkat na si Duterte noon, eh.
Oo, di ba? Nakahabol na si Duterte at pababa naman si Grace. So, masyadong dynamic ang situation. Anything can happen.
Pero dito, given the current numbers of Bongbong Marcos, hindi ba ito yung pwede ka na magpakakampante o maging overconfident, especially his supporters? Kasi social media, napaka-ingay. Mukhang napaka-rabid ng support niya because of his current numbers.
Yeah, but where is it coming from? One, the revision of history that was quietly done over the past 5 years or probably even longer, no? Two, the lies that have been spread around, no? Like, I mean, we've been on the field for so many provinces, in Tarlac, in Pampanga. Sinasabi sa amin, nangako daw si Ferdinand Marcos Jr. na dun daw sa last will and testament ng kanyang tatay, pag siyang naging presidente, yung kanilang ginto, pamamahagi sa taong bayan, di ba? Yung mga ganon, no? At marami rin naman naniniwala noon. But you know, I'll tell you this, Christian. I haven't said this publicly yet, no. nung si Pangulong o si Vice President Estrada was running for president, no, in 98 siya tumakbo, pero
97 yung fighting.
97, I remember, nagpunta kami sa Olot, sa Leyte, no, yung beachfront rest house, no, or hacienda ni First Lady Imelda Romualdez Marcos. And then she asked us, the two of us actually, na pumunta sa isang kwarto, no? Pagkatapos, may pinakita siya sa aming parang titulo Torrens, no? Parang Torrens, yung Luman Torrens title natin, na looked like gold certificates.
Okay.
Mga gold certificates daw. Pakapala, maraming gold certificates na sinabi niya, Era, pag nanalo ka, bibigay ko ito sa'yo, pambayad ng utang, pang ano, et cetera, et cetera. No? So, I mean, I knew it was, I mean, I never trusted her to begin with. No? I mean, I have to admit that. But mukhang miski naman si Era, hindi naniwala eh, no? Dahil walang imik eh, wala namang ano, tatangu-tangu lang, ano. And
so bogus yun, yung papers. Bogus. Ha? Bogus ba?
Sa tingin ko bogus because, I mean, putting it together, no. When I was already in Taiwan, racket na racket sa Taiwan naman, maraming mga naloloko sa Taiwan na meron ding mga gold certificates, accordingly nasa Fort Knox pa yung gold certificates na wealth of Chiang Kai-shek.
Oh.
So marami ring naloloko. Pakikita, I don't know, gawa sa rekto yon. Meron pinapakita gold certificates. Tapos mag-i-invest ka ng konti, no? Balik sa iyo malaking pera, no?
So yung kwento nitong ginto na ipamamahagi raw kung manalo si Bongbong Marcos, pwedeng galing din sa sarili ng kampo, hindi na kung sino-sino?
Hindi, malamang. Eh, alam ka namang may nag-inventong kung sino-sino lang or whatever, no? I mean, pero kalat na kalat kasi eh. Interlaken, Pampanga, miski samba kami nagpuntang isa pa na medyo, sa Zambales, ganun din.
Okay.
Hindi na mga pinagsasabi ng tao na meron daw ginto. Kaya nga, in some occasions, sinasabi na ni Isko na huwag kayo naniniwala sa mga ginto-ginto. Baka fancy yan, no? Yung fancy meaning fake, no? O, yun, oh. Meron pa siyang tubog, ano? Tanso pagka tinubog sa
tinubog,
ginto.
Tinubog lang.
Oo, tinubog sa ginto, tanso pa rin yan.
Ang tanong ko, kayo, ang tagal nyo ng ano, political strategist, no? But parang backward ang thinking dun sa isang segment ng mga botante natin. Kung hanggang ngayon, a big chunk of them naniniwala pa rin sa mga ganyang kwento-kwento.
Hindi. It's born out of despair. Hirap ang tao. No? And ang feeling ng tao, kawawang-kawawa sila. Masyado silang na sira ang kabuhayan nila dito sa pandemya. Kakapit ka sa patalim eh. Kakapit ka sa miski na ano na nagbibigay sa'yo ng shred of hope. And inaamin naman ng tao na magnanakaw si Marcos. Yung tatay niya, I mean. Inaamin naman nila yun. Parang universally accepted na kumita sila ng limpak-limpak nung panahong diktador si Marcos. So parang ang tingin ng tao, binabalik lang naman sa atin yan eh. Ninakaw naman yan sa bayan, binabalik sa atin. But at this point in time, gaya rin ng vote buying, no? Tatanggapin nila yan eh. So that is how the playbook has been very masterfully created by whoever is handling Ferdinand Marcos Jr.
Okay. Ngayon naman, paano nyo sinasagot yung mga ganyan? Kasi may epekto yan sa sarili nyo kandidatura, no? Ng kandidato nyo. Pero pag pinag-uusapan yung ginto, how do you counter that?
Well, right now, pahapyaw, yun nga, yung tubog sa ginto, yung tanso, whatever. Pahapyaw, but at the end of the day, I think during the campaign, people will wisen up to this, no? And remember, this is a situation where everybody is against the Marcoses. I mean, lahat ng ibang kandidato, di ba? Si Lenny kontra kay Marcos, si Lacson, I doubt naman na susuporta yan kay Marcos, no? Si Isko kontra kay Marcos. Si Bongo, obviously, the president himself is hitting Bongbong Marcos. So, lahat eh, di ba? So pagtutulong-tulungan yan. And since basihan eh kasinungalingan, basihan eh panglalansi, mapapuncture din yung panglalansi na yan.
Okay. Doon naman sa messaging ng campaign team niya, no? Kayo pa rin, kayo ang head ng ano, no? Ng campaign team, tama po ba?
Yes, yes.
Okay. So ngayon, gaano kalaki yung campaign team niyo? Mas lumaki ba kumpara ng mga nakaraang buwan?
Mas lumaki at ang mas malaki ngayon yung aming volunteer support base, no? It's overwhelming. Ngayong hapon meron na namang mag-take ng oath as volunteers, no, for ISCO. And if you notice nung Sunday, no, very organic 'yon, mga nakamotor-motor lang, mga ganon, eh ang dami nung nag caravan or motorcade, whatever you may call it, for ISCO, yung mga riders, no. And that was basically Metro Manila. Tapos merong sa Cebu, nagpaplano sila ngayon, I think, ng iba-ibang probinsya, no? Parang na-excite dun sa ano. So maraming nagpaplano ng ganon, no? So, the volunteers are very, ano, wherever we go, ang daming volunteers, dumadagdag yung mga volunteers for ISCO.
Okay. Si former Secretary Vince Dison, ano yung magiging role niya officially sa kampanya ni Mayor Iskuna?
Okay, I don't want to preempt him, no. Pero ang alam ko, in fairness to Sec Vince, nagpaalam naman siya na maganda kay Presidente Duterte. Nagsabi naman siya na tapatan, no. So, well, he's coming back from the US. He took a respite, no. Pagod na pagod din yung tao dun sa mga trabaho niya, lalo dun sa IATF. Hmm. So he's coming back within the week, no? Mag-uusap kami. But definitely I'd love to have Vince on our team, no? He's a very brilliant strategist, no, and a statistician at that, no. So maganda kasama si Vince.
Pero on board na siya sa kampanya?
Di yeah.
Ayos on board.
Well, mahirap naman magsinungaling. Yeah, he's been on board. No, kaya lang hindi nga publicly dahil meron pa siyang government position na hinahawakan, no. So, but he has told Malacañang and even the president himself. At pumayag naman si presidente.
Pero
no, no? Parang sabi ni presidente, buhay mo 'yan, eh, no. I mean, that's I understand that, no.
Pero unofficially, ano yung mga nagiging contributions niya lately or so far sa kampanya niya?
Katulong ko siya sa paggawa ng research design, no? Pagka nagpapa-survey kami, pag nagpapa-FGDs kami, no? Basically 'yon, katulong ko rin siya sa pagcraft ng message box, no? Because that is Vince is very good at that.
But when you say message box, anong ibig sabihin po?
Ano yung sasabihin ni Isko? Ano yung communications? Ano yung sentro ng mensahe na bibigay namin sa taong bayan, no?
So during speeches, yung mga ganun.
During speeches, during in press statements and all that.
Okay. So, pag pumasok na siya officially, ano yung nakikita niyong magandang role for him?
Siguro, ano ko, second lead ko or something like that.
Pero kayo pa rin yung magiging head na, kayo pa rin yung head ng ano, ng campaign team.
Yeah, I guess so. Unang-una, ako rin naman na nag-recruit kay Vince. Eh. Although, kaming dalawa ni Mayor, no? Kaming dalawa ni Isko, no?
Kaya ako tinatanong yan, I don't know if you would like to answer this. Kasi nga, a few weeks ago, may mga ugong-ugong, no? Na baka raw may discord na between you and Mayor Isko, and then Vince Dison was coming in, that he might end up replacing you.
Ah, hindi. Puro intriga lang yan. I really was surprised. Pati si Yorme was surprised at that.
So, nadinig niyo rin, no?
Hindi. Maraming nag-text sa akin na media eh. From GMA, from ANC, from ABS-CBN, from One News, no? Dami, ang dami nag-text tungkol doon, no? Parang umugong yon. No. Pero at that time, Prince was already out of the country.
Pero kayo,
vacation.
Oh, kasi I remember nung huli po natin pag-usap. Siguro, December yung usapan niyo ni Mayor Isko, no? When they met with you. And then, gumulong-gulong na yan. No? Pero kayo, kailan nyo sinimulang i-recruit siya, no? Si Vince Dixon?
Ah, when was that? Middle of the year? I'm not sure if it was May or June.
Kasi kayo, officially, you came on board June. Tama po ba?
Officially, oh. Yeah.
Pero nagpaalam na yata kayo as early as January na.
Oh, nagpahiwatig ako. No? And then nagpaalam ako yung formal na pagpapaalam May.
Di ba nainisay niyo yung mga dati niyo kasama sa Duterte administration? Nagpaalam na kayo naman. Tapos nag-recruit pa kayo. Hindi naman.
Eh, in fairness kay Presidente, hindi naman ano eh. Hindi naman siya ganung klase ng tao eh. No? Ang sabi nga niya kay Vince, buhay mo yan, bata ka pa, no? I understand fully. No. So
kailan ba sila nag-usap?
I think bago siya umalis eh. When was that? October.
Tapos kailan siya scheduled na bumalik dito?
This week pabalik siya.
Okay. O sige. Tapos ano, sir, may mga pag-usapan din natin yung messaging so far ng kandidato niyo. Kasi may mga nakakausap din ako mga campaign strategists. Hindi ko alam kung this is with basis. Kaya I'd like to ask you also. May mga nadidinig din ako na baka naman in terms of messaging, yung kay Isko nag-plateau na, yung kay Lenny, kailangan pa na improvement. Anong basa niyo rito? Do you think your candidate's messaging is gaining traction so far? Or siguro kailangan medyo dagdagan o baguhin?
Well, you always tweak that eh. Hindi naman yan, wala namang messaging can never be static, no? It has to be dynamic, no? You have to react to certain events, no? But you have to have a core message, which is in the case of Isko, he is running because he wants to help the country and our people in this time of crisis. And he has been able to show that with his leadership in Manila. No, he can replicate that, even scale it up for the rest of the country. Yun yung core message. No? Hindi naman magbabago yun. No? Hindi naman kami tumatakbo simply because nanggaling sa mahirap. No? Because then, ano diferensya nyo ni Pacman, di ba?
Yeah.
But the point is, nanggaling sa mahirap, he lifted himself by his bootstraps all on account of his own pagpupursige, so to speak, no? Yung sarili niyang sakripisyo. But at the end of the day, he has prototypes to show for it. And the city of Manila is such a prototype. Fortunately, it's also the capital of the nation. No?
In terms of resources, kaya ba niya makapagsabayan kay Bongo Marcos, for instance, or Senator Bongo?
Ah, hindi. Definitely not. No? Malayong-malayo. But the point is, si Presidente Duterte ba, nung tumakbo noong 2016, merong resources, no? To match the administrations, Mar Rojas, to match Vice President Jojo Binay, even candidate and now Senator Grace Poe. Pero nanalo siya, di ba? So, it's at the function of resources. Resources constitute also a part of the effort, but it's not totally dependent on the resources.
Okay. Sige, Mr. Lito Banayo, maraming salamat po sa pagpapaunlak muli sa aming panayam. Thank you, sir, for joining us on this podcast.
Salamat din, Christian. Always a pleasure.
So that's it for this episode of our Facts First podcast. I'm your host, Christian Esguerra. Again, you can watch this on my YouTube channel and you can listen to the podcast version on Apple, Spotify, Google, and Stitcher. Maraming salamat po.